This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday hump day, as we cruise on through the week, and we have a ton we have to get to. I'm going to get to these traitorous Republicans, amnesty, people fleeing blue states, Doritos costing too much. We're going to get to emails. We're going to get to so much stuff tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show, but I am going to begin with what you clearly have questions and concerns about: the ceasefire, peace agreement, not a peace agreement, that everyone has an opinion right now. All the emails are, Jesse, I think the two-week ceasefire Trump has agreed to is a huge mistake. I don't trust the Palestinians any more than the Iranians. It's just a stall tactic, this guy says. The lady says, Trump just canceled the deadline in Iran. You said if he did it, it would be the worst scenario. They just announced it. I'm so upset. We're so dead, that lady says. Jesse, maybe Trump and the military are planning a bait and switch. All right. Let's talk about something. And some of this is going to be a recap, but it's a necessary recap to understand where we are, where we might be going. So let's just put on our big boy pants and our big girl pants, and we'll dive into this. First of all, it's easy to start a war. It's very difficult to stop one. I've said that over and over and over again. There have been a million philosophers and generals and people like that who have said that much more eloquently than I have. But it's easy to start a war. It's difficult to stop one. And it's difficult to stop one because once you start it, you starting it is in your control. But when you start a war, obviously, it's an obvious point, other entities are now involved and they get a say. Again, I'll use the example. If I walk in the door tonight, and I feel like starting a fight with Ob. I don't know why I would feel that way. Maybe I'm feeling a little feisty when I walk in. I can walk in the door and say, are you making chicken again? Oh, gosh, that's a little bland. I'm not even in the mood for it. Now we're fighting. Now, it may be that a half hour into that fight, an hour into that fight, maybe I'd like to get a little smooch out of Ob. Maybe I'd like to cuddle on the couch. But maybe she still wants to fight. And my desires at that point in time, well, they may not matter if she still wants to fight. Once you make the decision to go to war, once you have crossed that Rubicon, you are in a very dangerous, dangerous place because now you have given up control. Before you made that decision, it was your decision. Once you make that decision, there are other people involved. Now, we can't go back and change the past, all right? Yes, I read the New York Times article that came out, and it's the New York Times, so you never know what to believe. They're a bunch of friggin' liars, but I haven't seen any denials out of the Trump administration. The New York Times ran an article. I won't give you all the details and all the quotes, but CIA Director John Ratcliffe, when they came to Donald Trump and said, hey, we should attack Iran, CIA Director essentially told Trump that's insane. Marco Rubio apparently said, I wouldn't. J.D. Vance apparently was dead set against it. Now, maybe Trump made a decision completely on his own. Maybe there was someone else, Jared Kushner, Steve Witkoff, maybe there was someone else involved, but Trump has to own it. No matter what, we can't change what happened. Trump made the decision. Fine, he didn't listen to those people. He listened to other people. Fine, he's the president. He made that call. Trump made the decision. Once that decision was made, now ending it is not completely in Trump's hands. And for people who maybe are all for it, but now want to come home, or people who are against it, or whatever, I hear a lot of people saying, well, just come home. Now you can just come home. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that at all. You've got Israel bombing the crap out of Iran, Iran raining missiles down on Tel Aviv. You've got the Strait of Hormuz problem. It's not just the United States of America playing by ourselves out in the middle of the ocean, and we can just turn the ships around and come on home whenever we feel like it. That's not how it works. Once the decision was made to cross the Rubicon, well, you know why they called it crossing the Rubicon? Because once Julius Caesar marched his legions across the Rubicon, he officially became a lawbreaker, and there was no turning back. Now the journey is fraught with danger. So, as I have said repeatedly, Donald Trump is aware that he needs to get back home. Decision was made. I don't know whether he's feeling regretful. Donald Trump's not the type who would ever say that, or maybe he's mad at whoever he thinks talked him into whatever. I don't know. I don't know any of that. I'm not inside the man's head. I don't know. But one thing I do know for a fact, because his public statements have backed that up. In fact, he's even said point blank to the camera, the American people want me to come home. I'd like to go do this, but the American people want me to come home. Donald Trump can read the poll numbers, and more specifically, Donald Trump can read the tea leaves. What do I mean by tea leaves? Well, in any election year, well, in every year, really, there are various special elections across the United States of America. What's a special election? Well, maybe this congressman retires all of a sudden or dies or something terrible like that. Well, they got to have an election. Maybe there's a Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, for instance. We got to have an election. And what happens in these non-sexy off-year elections are you get a gauge politically on who is more motivated to vote. So here's a political lesson you can write down on your heart, because it's always been true. It's true today, and it will be true for the foreseeable future. The results of special elections are an indicator of how the next big election are going to go. Why? For what I just said. They show you who is more motivated to go vote. So, how are these special elections looking right now?
Look at this. We're talking about exceeding Kamala Harris, the liberal candidate, did by 21 points. 21 points. And this is part of a pattern, right? In Virginia governor, we saw the Democrat there exceeding Kamala Harris by 10. New Jersey governor by 8. And this is even better. Even better than what Democrats had back in the 2017-2018 cycles, where they were exceeding Hillary Clinton's baseline, but by 12, 4, and less than a point. So this time around, oh my goodness gracious, holy cow, holy smokes, holy Toledo. And of course, remember, Democrats took the House in 2018, and I will note that Wisconsin Supreme Court performance last night by Chris Taylor was the best for a liberal candidate in an open seat in at least 30 years.
How'd we do in Georgia in that special election?
Okay, again, putting this in perspective, 2025, 2026, U.S. House special elections. How much did the Democrats outrun Kamala Harris's baseline from 2024? Look at this. In Georgia, 14, 25 percentage points. My goodness gracious. That beat all the other Dem overperformances, and they've overperformed in all of them. So we're even getting higher than the highest of heights. We're talking 13 in Tennessee, 7, 17 in Arizona, 7, 17 in Virginia, 11, 16 in Florida, 6, 23 in Florida, 1. And all of a sudden, we're talking 25 points. The biggest Dem overperformance in a special congressional election since 2017 when Doug Jones won that Alabama special Senate election.
You think Donald Trump doesn't know these numbers? What are Democrats going to do if they win the House and the Senate?
We need to remove this president. We need to use all options, whether it's impeachment, whether it's the 25th Amendment.
What are Democrats going to do with the House and the Senate?
We have to find incredible candidates, people, incredible human beings who care and to fix, to build our future with us, like Abdul, who will go to the Senate and say that, no, Donald Trump don't need to come to ask us for permission for a war or for a genocide. He needs to come for his impeachment.
Donald Trump sees these special election results. He's not a moron. Donald Trump is glued to late-night cable television and poll numbers. He lives for this stuff. Donald Trump knew and knows he has to find a way to come home. Which brings me to what happened last night or didn't happen. I know you're concerned or you're thrilled. I don't actually hear very many people who are thrilled. So let's talk about it. Before we talk about it, let's talk about LifeLock. Let's talk about stopping your bank account from being wiped out by online thieves. You know your bank is online, right? Your bank account is online. You know they're trying to get into it as we speak. You know they're trying to take loans out in your name as we speak. Criminal organizations across the planet, it's the crime crisscrossing the planet because you can sit in your basement in Russia, you and a gang of thieves, and steal from Americans all day, every day. Now, who is looking out for your stuff? LifeLock is, if you've signed up. Now, if you haven't, there's nobody. You're just sitting there waiting to get pillaged. But LifeLock will monitor all these dark websites for you, let you know, hey, got a problem here. And if they get you, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Join now. Save up to 40% off your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Just use the promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, addressing all your emails, all your concerns right now about Iran. We shouldn't be leaving. We should stay. Or we should have left a while ago. We should have never started. Everyone has an opinion, and all your opinions are fine and valid. You're not a subject. You're a citizen. You have opinions. So what happened? The reason I told you last night I wasn't going to be covering it live as I suspected some things were going to happen. Caroline Leavitt, press secretary, said this.
Iran has agreed to open the Strait of Hormuz. And as the president said, we have received a proposal from the Iranians that has been determined to be a workable basis on which to negotiate.
Okay. J.D. Vance is involved. That's a good thing.
I can announce that the president is dispatching his negotiating team, led by the vice president of the United States, J.D. Vance, special envoy Witkoff, and Mr. Kushner to Islamabad for talks this weekend.
Okay. What about the military? Trump said something publicly about the military hanging around to keep an eye on things. Here's Secretary of War.
We'll be hanging around. We're not going anywhere. We're going to make sure Iran complies with this ceasefire and then ultimately comes to the table and makes a deal. So we'll stay put, stay ready, stay vigilant, as the chairman laid out. Our troops are prepared to defend, prepared to go on offense, prepared to restart at a moment's notice.
Now, what happened last night during the last hour of the show? During the last hour of the show, the news came out. We saw it. Hey, ceasefire. 2-week ceasefire. Okay. Why didn't I run to the microphone and talk to you about it? Because about 5 minutes after that ceasefire was announced, everything was blowing up. Iran was apparently launching attacks on everything. Israel's launching attacks on Lebanon. It doesn't seem like a ceasefire. People are dying. The missiles are being launched. What happened? Okay. So today, we got some details on what's in the ceasefire. And many, many, many people are upset about these details. So what are they? This was on Fox News. Here they were.
That includes 10 separate points. Some of them include the U.S. guaranteeing a non-aggression pact with Iran, continuing Iran's control over the Strait of Hormuz, acceptance that Iran can enrich uranium for its nuclear program, removal of all primary sanctions on Iran, removal of secondary sanctions, an end of all UN Security Council resolutions against Iran, an end to the IAEA's resolutions on Iran's nuclear program, compensation payment for Iran and its war damage, withdrawal of U.S. forces from the region, and a ceasefire on all fronts. Those are a number of points that are not going to be reached, and the next 2 weeks are going to be critical as negotiators try to hammer this out.
Okay, don't freak out. We're just going to talk. We're just talking, all right? So obviously, that's an Iranian wish list, is it not? It's hard to see that as anything other than an Iranian wish list. We can go down the line.
That includes 10 separate points. Some of them include the U.S. guaranteeing a non-aggression pact with Iran.
Okay, so Iran wants us to put in writing that we'll never attack again. All right?
Continuing Iran's control over the Strait of Hormuz.
We're going to continue to allow the number one state sponsor of terror complete control over the route where 20% of the world's oil supplies go. We saw what they just did with the Strait of Hormuz. Wasn't ideal, to put it mildly. Are you enjoying diesel prices? Continuing.
Acceptance that Iran can enrich uranium for its...
Acceptance that Iran can enrich... What? Uranium? That was the entire justification for the war. Donald Trump himself sold this to the American people repeatedly, that we were there because of the nuclear enrichment. We're there because of the nuclear enrichment. They were about to have a nuclear weapon. We're there because of the nuclear enrichment. That was the justification the Trump administration used to sell the action to begin with. Apparently, it's also part of what? Anyway.
Nuclear program, removal of all primary sanctions on Iran, removal of secondary sanctions, and end of all UN Security Council resolutions.
You got it. People got the details of the proposed peace plan, and they freaked out. This is an Iranian wish list. You can't do this. Okay. All right. So, I admit, it certainly doesn't sound ideal. And if we have to put too fine a point on it, we don't know what final agreement they're going to end up coming to, or if they will, and we'll discuss that in a moment. But I think we could all agree that if in 2 weeks from now or 2 days from now, if that wish list is signed, sealed, and delivered, then we, as it comes to Iran, we are much worse off than we were beforehand. We had sanctions in place. We were already strangling the economy. We were making sure they couldn't enrich it because we bombed out all their underground facilities. If we agree to this, we are 10 times worse off than we were beforehand. So why on earth would Trump agree to that? Trump said, I'm going to bomb you back to the Stone Age. And then he came out when it was time to do that. He said, nope, we came to an agreement. We find out the agreement sucks. So let's talk about the why. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't
shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I don't know if our talk here about all this Iran stuff is going to make you feel better or worse, or already is, but we are nevertheless going to discuss it like adults. So the ceasefire agreement has a laundry list of things that Iran has wanted forever, and if that ends up being the thing that is signed, it's undeniable that Iran's going to come out of this thing smelling like a rose. And as it pertains to Iran, we're much worse off than we were before. So pause for a moment. Let's acknowledge this. A ceasefire agreement is not a peace agreement. Those are two totally different things. And about 10 million times in history, nations have agreed, hey, let's stop killing each other and try to work something out. And then it didn't get worked out. All right? Don't think, if you're mortified by this, don't think that a ceasefire agreement is the same thing as a peace agreement. It is not. It is a, please stop the bombs from dropping. Let's sit down and see if we can get somewhere on a deal. Stop. You stop. I'll stop. Everyone stop. All right? Let's clear that. Now, let's deal with the ugly truth. We have a World War II problem in the United States of America. And this is what I mean by that. World War II, in a variety of different ways, especially for the United States of America, showed all the extremes, meaning the United States of America, not just our fighting, but the way we manufactured things and rallied around the flag and supported the world. World War II, you could easily argue, was the high point of our country. If America died tomorrow, which it will not, and we had to have a tombstone for the United States of America, you know, the tombstone usually reads something like loving husband, vice president, something like that. It would probably be the United States of America, and the first byline under it may very well be World War II, you're welcome, world. We love World War II, not just for our triumphs, but because we vanquished evil regimes. Yeah, the Nazis butchering 6 million Jews. We defeated them. The Japanese, just as evil, they don't get the pub, but the Japanese during World War II, just as barbaric and evil as anybody. We defeated them. And we like that because it was so clear that we were the good guys and they were the bad guys. Now, to the part of World War II that really gives us problems today. It might give you problems. In World War II, Japan had a plan. We'll focus on the Japanese. The Germans kind of did too, but we'll focus on the Japanese. Japan did not think, remember, that they were going to defeat America at Pearl Harbor. They knew full well that America was gigantic and America was powerful and that America was going to come for revenge after Pearl Harbor. None of those things shocked the Japanese at all. If your history teacher taught you that, your history teacher was a moron. They were well aware America was coming. But the plan was simply this. Hey, we want 100 islands. I'll make it simple. We're Japan. We want 100 islands. America's going to step in if we try to take 100 islands and stop us. So here's what we do. We go attack America, so they are delayed. We then go and take 200 islands. America will come fight us and many of us will die. That's the way it goes. But eventually they will tire of the bloodshed and they will sue for peace and we'll get a peace agreement. And maybe we end up with 100 islands in the end. Maybe we end up with 50. But no matter what, we end up with more than we had before. Yes, we lost some men and equipment. That's the way it goes. But no matter what, after the war is over, America will sue for peace and we will be better off in a better place than we were before. Therefore, it's worth it. Let's go kick them in the teeth in Pearl Harbor and get this thing rolling. But Japan was shocked by something. There was something they did not anticipate. America developed a mentality, and it was the declared mentality of the country. Unconditional surrender is the only thing we will accept. No, no, there's no peace agreement. There's no ceasefire. You will get on your knees before me, and you will beg my forgiveness. And you will sign this document that says I can do whatever I want to you. Why was Japan shocked by that? Why would they be shocked? Well, that's the whole history of the world as a negotiated peace. They were shocked by that because that's not how warfare had traditionally been done. Yes, I know the Genghis Khans of the world and wipe everyone out and things like that, but in the entire history of warfare, virtually all of it, two countries have a disagreement, maybe complete hatred of each other, and they go start butchering each other because war is just horrible. And in the end, the leaders, when they're tired of it, they will sit down with each other and they will have some sort of a negotiated peace. And here's what we don't like. Reason we love that unconditional surrender thing, because here's what we don't like. We will always choose a side when reading or watching a documentary or learning about a war. We will always choose a side. Just depends on what your perspective is, whatnot. Hey, those are the good guys. These are the bad guys. We will always choose a side. It's the way it is. But the side we dislike in these negotiated pieces, why do they always get stuff? They shouldn't get anything. That's the bad guy. Those are the bad guys. They don't deserve anything. Why do they get anything at all? We have this unique World War II perspective love of something called unconditional surrender. And the problem with that mentality is we have convinced ourselves in America that that's how war goes. You will go to war. You will defeat the other side utterly. They will prostrate themselves before you and say, I am yours, do with me as you please. But that's not how warfare goes. We could only fight that way in World War II because the mood of the public was uniquely behind the war effort. That's the only reason FDR ever got away with the idea of unconditional surrender. He got away with that idea not because it was his idea. He got away with that idea because the American people said, screw them. You bombed us at Pearl Harbor? No. Kill them all and let God sort them out. That was the mentality of every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. Therefore, in the end, we got unconditional surrender. Peace agreements always suck. Always. Like 99.9% of the time, peace agreements suck because the bad guy gets things too. We'll wrap this up in just a moment. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about Americans. I was talking to Savannah Hernandez earlier today. I was interviewing her, and she just did a documentary on what's taking place in North Texas. And America is being handed to foreigners. American corporations, in conjunction with the government, they are handing over American jobs, the entire country, our entire business environment to foreigners as fast as they possibly can. It's staggering. Averaging visas in the temples, or advertising, I'm sorry, visas in the temples. I love Pure Talk. Pure Talk hires Americans. Pure Talk isn't out there taking American jobs and sending them overseas as fast as possible. They're not importing foreigners and handing them your job. When you dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly and you get ready to switch your cell phone service, well, you can talk to an American. I love that. I love that more and more every day as I watch my country being handed to foreigners. Switch your cell phone service. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, good news, bad news, depends on how you look at all this ceasefire peace agreement thing. Here's the truth. I am not overly confident that this whole thing is going to last. And I'm not because Israel hates this agreement. Iran wins completely in this agreement. Donald Trump appears to be the only entity involved who wants it. Why would he want it? As I said, Donald Trump has been looking for an off-ramp for a few weeks now. He's trying to get out. So are all the entities who want to keep fighting, are they going to allow an agreement like this to go through, to be finalized? I don't know. I wouldn't bank on that. I just wouldn't bank on that. So if you are one of these people that who doesn't like it, like, I mean, I got emails like that too. This is ridiculous. We need to continue to kill them all and that God sort them out. Well, I have good news for you. I don't have a ton of faith that this thing is going to go through. Trump's not a moron. There's a reason the military is staying right where they are.
We'll be hanging around. We're not going anywhere. We're going to make sure Iran complies with this ceasefire and then ultimately comes to the table and makes a deal. So we'll stay put, stay ready, stay vigilant, as the chairman laid out. Our troops are prepared to defend, prepared to go on offense, prepared to restart at a moment's notice.
Now, for this little bit of truth, and then we are moving on, because I'm going to talk about this Dignidad Act and all the other crap. We're probably at a place where you have to accept one of two outcomes. There's probably not a third one, so here it is. The first outcome of this is a ground invasion, American troops dying on Iranian soil, possibly for a long time. Please remember that Iran is the size of the entire western portion of America, basically. That's a little oversimplification, but this is a gigantic mountainous country. So if it involves completely wiping out our enemies in Iran, if that's where we're going, we are going to be taught you can't bomb your way to it. We like to imagine we can, that it doesn't work that way. It would involve American troops dying on Iranian soil. That's one option. Option number two is, if you don't like that one, I get it. I don't like that one either. Option number two is probably going to be some version, probably not quite this bad, some version of this.
That includes 10 separate points. Some of them include the U.S. guaranteeing a non-aggression pact with Iran, continuing Iran's control over the Strait of Hormuz, acceptance that Iran can enrich uranium for its nuclear program, removal of all primary sanctions on Iran, removal of secondary sanctions, an end of all UN Security Council resolutions against Iran, an end to the IAEA's resolutions on Iran's nuclear program, compensation payment for Iran and it's war damage, withdrawal of U.S. forces from the region, and a ceasefire on all fronts. Those are a number of points that are not going to be reached, and the next 2 weeks are going to be critical as negotiators try to hammer this out.
Are they going to get all those? No, no. That would probably, that's beyond the pale that Trump would probably agree to that ridiculous stuff. It's an Iranian wish list. It's like when you're a kid and you write your Christmas list for Santa and it has everything underneath the sun and a new car, right? That's not going to happen. You might get one. I'm not saying they're only going to get one, but if an agreement is to be reached, it's probably going to have some of that in it. And that's an if, because, as I said last night, we got this ceasefire agreement at, I think it was the beginning of hour three, and I thought about talking about it on the air, and then immediately the missiles were flying between, I hate to laugh about it because it's not funny, but Iran and Israel are still killing each other as fast as they possibly can. Iranian state media is saying Israel's already violated the ceasefire. Israel's saying Iran has violated the ceasefire. Trying to hold this ceasefire together for a couple weeks is going to take a superhuman effort anyway, because as I pointed out repeatedly, there are three entities involved: the United States, Iran, and Israel. And it is very likely, in fact, it's apparent at this point in time, that two of the three entities don't want to stop fighting. If we are the ones who want to stop fighting, but we're the only ones that want to stop fighting, where does that lead us? I don't know. I think we're probably down to two options. Boots on the ground. Ugh, awful to think about. Or a negotiated peace that you're not going to like. If there's a third option, I don't know what it would be. I've been thinking about it, praying about it. I don't know what that would possibly look like. But look, once the decision was made to go, this is where you end up. It always sounds fun. Foreign adventuring sounds fun. Crassus, he was going to go teach those Parthians a lesson. Gathered up some legions, marched over there with his son. He was already the richest man in Rome. Time to get some military pelts on the wall, huh? Sounds like a good time until the Parthians are riding in front of your formation with your son's head on a spike right before they finish wiping out your army and butcher you. War is a dangerous game. I am sorry this is where we are, but this is where we are. Let's move on and trash the Dignity Act and these dirty traitors in Congress and talk about many other things in the next hour of the Jess Kelly Show. I'll get to some emails, too. I'm going to try to keep clearing that out. I know you have many thoughts, and I'm going to try to get to more of those this show than normal. All right? Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.